All right, let's unpack this. We've got a fantastic source in front of us today. A guide titled Writing Tips Made Easy from SideHustleProfits.net. It's a quick read, yeah, but it's really packed with practical advice, specifically for anyone writing online, you know, blogs, websites, landing pages, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
It's really about, well, crafting compelling content for the web.
And what's fascinating here, I think, is how writing for the internet truly is its own distinct skill set.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different from, say, writing an academic paper or, you know, a novel.
Totally different.
Right. The source zeroes in on that difference, offering 25 tips designed to boost your style, your technique, maybe spark some creativity, and really increase your production specifically for that web audience.
Exactly. So if you're looking to make your online words count, maybe you're trying to grow a blog, build a website, or just communicate more clearly and effectively online, well, this deep dive is kind of your shortcut to understanding those core principles laid out in this guide, our mission, to pull out the absolute most important nuggets, you know, the key insights you need to write content that not only grabs attention, but keeps people reading and hopefully taking action.
That's the goal.
So where does this guide suggest you even begin this journey? I mean, towards better online writing. It doesn't start with installing expensive software or like learning complex SEO tricks right away.
No, not at all.
It points to something surprisingly fundamental, daily habits.
Which, you know, this raises an important question. Why daily? Why the emphasis on doing it every day?
Right.
The source emphasizes consistency above all else. It's not about needing to write brilliant publishable prose every single day. Not at all. It's simply about forming the habit.
Just showing up.
Just showing up and sitting down and putting words on a page or screen. I mean, you'd be writing about your day, jotting down ideas for a business plan.
Or even just practicing tweets, maybe.
Exactly. Or practicing social media posts. The guide suggests that committing to this daily habit, even for a short time, can solidify it in like less than a month. It builds that muscle memory, you know, and just reduces the friction of starting each time.
Okay, so building that writing habit is key. That makes sense. What else does the source pair with daily writing? Is there a counterpart?
There is, yeah. Hand in hand with writing, the source strongly advocates for, well, daily reading.
Ah, okay, reading.
And it frames this not just as like a passive activity or something you do for pleasure, but actually as a core professional development tool for writers.
Professional development, interesting. How so?
Well, reading directly improves your writing ability in multiple ways. For one, it naturally expands your vocabulary. Mm. You see different sentence structures.
You just absorb it, kind of.
You absorb it, yeah. And frankly, the more you read, the easier the physical act of writing often feels. But beyond that, daily reading, especially within your niche or area of interest, it keeps you updated.
On what's happening.
Yeah, on current affairs, relevant topics. This provides a continuous stream of insights, potential talking points, and crucially, content ideas you might not have thought of otherwise.
So it feeds the writing.
It totally feeds the writing.
Yeah.
The guide suggests variety, too, reading newspapers, short stories, blog articles, or even just researching a new hobby. It can all contribute. It's like fuel for your writing engine.
That makes a lot of sense. So habit and input writing and reading are foundational. The guide also talks about the physical act and space of writing, right? Yeah. Getting comfortable.
It does, yeah. There's a section that touches on where you write and also how you approach the actual session itself.
Mm-hmm.
The recommendation for finding a comfortable writing place, it's based on a simple practical principle.
Which is?
Discomfort in your body is a distraction for your mind. If you're fidgeting or your back aches, it's going to hinder your ability to focus and, you know, get words flowing.
So finding your spot matters, whether that's a quiet corner or maybe a bustling coffee shop. Some people like that.
Exactly. It's really about what works for you.
Yeah.
And the source adds that if your schedule is tight, leveraging early mornings can be effective before the day gets crazy.
Right. Getting it done first.
Yeah. And this also ties into another technique the guide mentions, writing in short spurts.
Short spurts, like setting a timer for short bursts.
Yes, exactly. Using a timer, maybe writing for just 10 minutes every hour, for example. The source notes, this isn't just for physical relief, like preventing backaches from sitting too long.
Ah, okay.
It's actually a powerful way to prevent overwhelm, especially when you're facing a big writing task. It keeps your mind fresh, gives you small breaks to reset, and can actually boost creativity. It makes the whole thing feel less daunting.
I like that. Breaking it down. Okay, so we built the habit, we're reading daily, we've found our comfy spot, maybe we're doing some short spurts. Now, the source shifts gears a bit. It talks about getting strategic before you even start typing that first draft.
Right.
The pre-writing phase.
Precisely. And it kicks off with research. Research is described as absolutely paramount for web content. And the reason? Well, online users are typically looking for specific solutions, facts, or information, and they want it now. They're impatient.
Okay, and how does research directly help with that? What are the benefits?
The source highlights several things. Firstly, it ensures you have timely, accurate facts. That's crucial for credibility and relevance. And yeah, that relevance helps search engines understand and rank your content too.
Right, the SEO angle.
Mm-hmm. Secondly, research is pretty essential for developing a solid outline for your piece. You need to know what points you can actually credibly make.
Gotcha.
And thirdly, it can often lead you to discover entirely new or unique angles on a topic that you might not have considered initially. That helps your content stand out from the crowd.
And tying directly into that research idea, keeping an eye on what's happening right now, current events, seems important according to the guide.
Absolutely. Staying updated in your niche industry has a really significant dual purpose, as the source explains it.
Dual purpose, okay.
Yeah. The guide suggests practical methods for this, like using RSS readers to follow your favorite blogs, setting up Google Alerts or Google News searches for keywords.
Oh, yeah, those are handy.
And actively following top blogs and influencers in your space.
Yeah.
The first purpose, obviously, is just staying informed, knowing what's going on, industry news, trends.
Right, just being aware. And the second purpose?
The second purpose is that this constant influx of news and trend topics directly provides an ongoing, almost evergreen list of things to write about.
Ah, content ideas.
Exactly. It's a built-in source of inspiration, baked right into the process of staying informed. You see what people are talking about, what questions are being asked, and bam, you can write content that addresses those timely needs.
That's really smart turn, staying informed into actual content generation. Okay, so once you have those ideas flowing and maybe some research gathered, the source is a big advocate for structuring your thoughts. Specifically, it seems to love outlines.
Yes, very much so. Using an outline is presented as a really powerful way to combat writer's block.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and just to make the process of creating quick, informative posts much easier, the guide suggests a simple standard structure that's like super effective for web content.
Okay, what's the structure?
You start with an introduction. It should clearly state what the reader will learn. Pretty straightforward. Then the body section, broken down with main points as subheadings.
Like H2s and H3s.
Exactly. With just a few sentences elaborating on each subheading point. Keep it concise. And finally, a conclusion to summarize the key takeaways and, critically, include a call to action. We'll probably talk more about that later.
Okay, so introduction, body with subheadings, conclusion with a CTA, simple, clear, effective.
Right. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the source also mentions mind mapping tools.
Ah, mind maps.
Yeah, they take this structuring idea even further. They're great for outlining individual pieces, sure, but they can also be used to plan content months ahead, link research sources directly to ideas, maybe use colored nodes for organization. It's a more visual and flexible way to brainstorm and structure larger amounts of information.
Cool. Okay, so you've got your daily habits down, you've done your research, you've got a solid outline or maybe a mind map going. Now it's time to actually sit down and write. The source has some pretty specific advice on how to craft that content for the online reader, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
And the core principle here seems to be relentless conciseness.
Cut the fluff.
Cut all the fluff and padding. The source repeats that idea. While fundamental grammar and spelling are important, of course, the main concern for online readers is just getting to the point quickly.
Makes sense.
So the guide encourages developing a recognizable writing style, but one that's generally accessible, you know, avoiding overly difficult or jargon-filled words unless your audience expects it. And crucially, it stresses writing conversationally.
Like you're just chatting with a friend.
Exactly that. Imagine you're explaining the topic to someone you know over coffee. That's the kind of tone to aim for. It makes the content feel approachable and just easier to digest.
Okay, and what about sentence structure? Does the guide have particular rules or suggestions there?
It does. Using complete sentences is still foundational, right?
Yeah.
You should avoid fragments that leave the reader hanging or confused, however. The source points out that online writing rules are generally more relaxed compared to, like, formal academic writing.
Okay.
And what's fascinating here, and maybe surprising if you remember strict English class rules,
oh,
is that starting sentences with conjunctions like and or because something an old teacher might have marked with red pen.
Right, I remember that.
That's now considered perfectly acceptable, even desirable sometimes, in online content.
Really? And because? Why is that suddenly okay online? What's the reasoning?
Well, it's all part of that push towards a conversational tone we just talked about.
Uh-huh, okay.
It mimics natural speech patterns more closely. It can help sentences flow together more smoothly, feel less formal, and just be more engaging for that casual online reader who is probably scanning quickly anyway.
Hmm.
It helps break up longer thoughts into shorter, more digestible units, too.
So, avoid fancy words, talk like a friend, maybe even break some traditional grammar rules if it helps the flow.
Yeah.
It all seems to point towards one key concept. Clarity.
Absolutely. Clarity is paramount. The source advises actively avoiding fancy language, technical jargon, unless your specific audience genuinely expects and understands it.
Know your audience.
Exactly. And removing any unnecessary words that don't add real meaning. The goal is just to keep sentences clear, direct, and to the point. It even suggests that if you find yourself straying off topic within a paragraph or even a sentence, the best thing to do is just cut that section entirely.
Be ruthless.
Be ruthless. It's about respecting the reader's time and delivering the information they came for as directly and efficiently as possible.
Efficiency is key because, yeah, as the source points out, online readers are impatient. Okay, let's talk about grabbing their attention right away. The guide seems to have some strong feelings about that crucial first impression.
It does, and it gives a pretty stark number, actually. The source states that most online visitors will leave a page in under 10 seconds.
Wow, 10 seconds.
Yeah, if they don't immediately see something that indicates they're in the right place or that they'll find what they need, this raises, you know, an important question. How do you possibly hook someone in such a short window?
Okay, I'm guessing the headline is absolutely critical here.
Absolutely critical. Couldn't be more important. Compelling headlines are your first and often your only chance to stop the scroll or the click away.
So what makes a headline compelling online, according to this?
Well, the source has some specific do's and don'ts. It advises against using all caps. Feels like shouting online, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And interestingly, it says avoid ending punctuation, like periods, on headlines.
No periods. Why?
Strangely, the source says this signals to the reader that the thought is finished and they can stop reading. You want them to start reading, not stop.
Huh. Never thought of that. Okay, so what should headlines do?
Examples of headline types the guide recommends include posing questions that resonate with the reader's problem, opinion-provoking titles that make people curious, clear, how-to guides promising a solution.
Like how to bake the perfect sourdough.
Exactly. Titles that stir emotion or curiosity. And, of course, you need to weave in relevant keywords so people searching can actually find your compelling headline in the first place. Don't forget the SEO.
Right. Visibility matters. Okay, so you've crafted that killer headline. It stops them in their tracks. They click through. But once they're on the page, how do you keep them reading past that initial 10-second judgment window?
This is where readability really comes into play. And the source offers several techniques. We mentioned online readers scan, right? They don't read word for word like they might a novel.
Skimming, mostly.
Mostly skimming. So using short, concise sentences and paragraphs is fundamental. Keep it brief. But beyond just sentence length, formatting is vital.
Oh, so.
The source strongly recommends using formatting techniques like subtitles, those H2s, H3s you see on blog posts, lists, and bullet points.
Breaking up the text.
Exactly. These act like visual hooks that catch the reader's eye as they scan down the page. They make the content easier to digest and pull the reader into specific points of interest.
So breaking up text visually is maybe just as important as the words themselves.
I think you could argue that, yeah. And it goes beyond just text formatting. The guide stresses that images and graphics are vital, too.
Pictures, charts.
Yeah, pictures, charts, infographics. They make content visually appealing right away, which entices readers to stay longer. They help break up long blocks of text, making articles appear less dense and therefore shorter and more approachable.
Less intimidating.
Less intimidating, exactly.
Yeah.
And they are fantastic for social sharing. Think about how visually driven platforms like Pinterest or Instagram are.
True.
And linked directly to that visual appeal is making smart use of white space.
That empty space on the page.
Yeah, sounds simple. Mm. But shorter paragraphs, headings, bullet points, they all create white space around the text. This makes the article look less like a daunting wall of dense text and much more inviting and less boring to the scanning eye. It really reduces that feeling of overwhelm for the reader.
Okay, that makes sense. Use formatting, visuals, and white space to guide the eye and make it easy. So we've planned, we've written with the online reader in mind, we've formatted it beautifully to grab attention and improve readability. Are we done? Can we just hit publish now? The source seems pretty clear that the answer is a firm no.
Yeah, definitely not. Not yet. The source lays out an essential post-writing process. It's not the glamorous part, maybe, but it's absolutely crucial.
Okay, what is it?
It's basically write, then read, edit, proofread, and repeat as necessary. And a key point, you absolutely cannot rely solely on automated spell checkers or grammar tools.
Why not? I mean, they catch most things, right? They're pretty good these days.
They catch some things, yes. They catch basic spelling errors, maybe some grammar mistakes. Mm. But they often miss context. They miss tone. They miss awkward phrasing. Or they miss when you've used the wrong word that is actually spelled correctly, like there versus there.
Yeah, the classic errors.
Exactly. The guide's key piece of advice here is to let your content sit for a while after you write the initial draft. Ideally overnight, if your deadline allows.
Let it cool off.
Let it cool off. This lets you return to it with fresh eyes, making it significantly easier to spot errors, awkward sentences, or just areas that aren't as clear as you thought they were. You need to read slowly and carefully, specifically looking for sentences or phrases where you kind of stumble or have to reread. Those are usually signs something needs fixing.
Good tip. And sometimes fixing means more than just tweaking a word or adding a comma, right? The source suggests being willing to make bigger changes if needed.
Oh, absolutely. It stresses that you shouldn't be too precious about your first draft. Don't be scared to cut entire sections or completely rewrite paragraphs if they aren't really serving the main point or just rambling on too long.
Cut your darlings, as they say.
Cut your darlings, exactly. The source makes a strong point here. Whatever you publish online is associated with your name or your brand. So the quality is paramount. Hmm. You should genuinely feel proud of your work when you hit publish. And a good test is to ask yourself, would I want to read this? Is it clear? Is it engaging?
That's a good gut check. And while you're in that editing phase, the source mentions polishing the language a bit too, beyond just fixing errors.
It does, yeah. Hmm. Beyond just correctness. It suggests looking for repeated words or phrases that might make your writing sound monotonous or lazy.
Okay.
Using a thesaurus carefully, of course, can help you find synonyms to liven up your language and add variety without needing major structural overhauls. It's about refining the flow and maybe the richness of your prose.
Making it sound better. Finally, the source touches on adding a touch of you to the writing, right? Injecting some personality.
Yes, it does mention voicing your opinions. The guide suggests that, you know, done thoughtfully and within reason for your topic and audience, adding your unique perspective can make content much more engaging. Well, it helps it attract attention, particularly on social media, where personality often drives engagement. The source even notes that this type of opinionated but importantly well-supported content is what often has the potential to go viral.
The viral potential.
Right. It can significantly increase views and really encourage discussion and debate in the comments section. It's about adding that human element, that unique voice we touched on earlier with the conversational tone. It helps you connect with readers on a deeper level than just presenting dry facts.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've planned, we've written, we've polished, we've added some personality. What's the absolute last critical ingredient, according to this guide, that you must include in your online content before you finally send it out?
The essential call to action, or, you know, CTA for short.
Okay, define that for someone who might be new to the term. What is a CTA?
A call to action is simply a prompt, usually right at the end of your content, that clearly tells the reader the specific action you want them to perform next. What do you want them to do now that they've read your piece?
And why is it so important?
The source emphasizes its critical importance because, frankly, if you don't explicitly tell your reader what to do after they finish reading, they'll likely just click away. They'll leave. And your purpose for writing the piece in the first place might be unfulfilled.
Okay, give us some examples. What kind of actions might you ask someone to take in a CTA?
Oh, it could be anything that aligns with your goals for that piece of content. Asking them to sign up for your email newsletter.
Common one.
Very common. Or buy a product you mentioned, share the post on social media, click a link to another relevant article on your site, maybe leave a comment with their thoughts, download a free resource. The list goes on.
And the key is making it obvious.
The key, as the source really stresses, is making that CTA incredibly clear. Use action-oriented language. Download now, sign up today, share your thoughts below. The reader needs to know exactly what you want them to do next. No ambiguity.
And the consequence of forgetting or just omitting that CTA entirely?
Well, the source is pretty direct about it. Without a clear call to action, you are simply leaving significant opportunities on the table. Opportunities for engagement, for building your audience through subscriptions, for making sales, perhaps, for guiding the reader further into your site or your ecosystem.
Yeah.
It's really the final step in guiding the reader towards achieving the ultimate purpose of your content piece. It's that so what, now what moment for the reader, answered clearly.
Wow, okay. That really was a deep dive into making words work effectively online, covering a surprising amount from this one. Pretty concise guide.
Yeah, it packs a punch.
It really does. From building those foundational daily habits and doing the smart planning all the way through, crafting engaging content that speaks directly to the online reader, making sure it's visually appealing and easy to scan, polishing it until it shines, adding that personality, and finally telling people what to do next with a clear CTA. This Writing Tips Made Easy guide lays out a really practical path, I think.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, what this source really highlights is that effective online writing isn't just about mastering grammar or, you know, having good ideas. It's a truly strategic blend. It's discipline through habit, diligent research, smart structuring, a deep understanding of the unique behavior of the online audience.
How they read, how they scan.
Exactly. Careful presentation, meticulous polishing. It's all designed specifically to meet those unique demands of the web environment. It's its own craft.
Well, hopefully digging into these points helps you, the listener, cut through some of the noise out there about online writing and feel well-informed and maybe more ready to tackle your own online writing projects, whether you're starting a blog, building out a website, or just want to make your online communication clearer and more effective.
Yeah, and maybe this raises an important question to leave people with. Considering how much online content we all consume every single day, often just scanning through it quickly, how might applying even just one or two of these tips from the guide change things? Not only how you approach writing online, but perhaps also how you read and evaluate the endless stream of content you encounter every day. Might make you a more critical reader, too.
That's a great point. Something to think about as you go about your day. Thanks for diving deep with us.